o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch. Jesse and Tausch today. No Jason Wildy today or tomorrow. He'll be back on Thursday of this week. Some well-deserved time off continues. But that doesn't keep him from his other job. Writing at channel3000.com where the top 20 countdown.
So before we get into that, I just posted something on Twitter / X. And I kind of want to get an idea of where how we view this roster and who is the best Green Bay Packer at their position. I really think there's only two guys to even put in the list. Because Jordan Love, we went through quarterback position. I don't think anybody's going to put him in a top five at the quarterback position.
Yeah, so you're saying in the NFL, who's the best at their position?
Because I want to get an idea of where we're at roster-wise. I think we've delved in and know the offensive line. If there's a show that covers the offensive line more than ours, I want to see it. I don't think there is.
There's not.
I don't think the wide receiver position gets looked at as deeply as that what we have. And I would put none. I think O-linemen, there's a couple of guys that I could maybe make a case for. But I really think this comes down to two players when I'm looking at this list, and that would be Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. And I don't think Xavier McKinney is going to get the love. I don't know if we put nationally if they would put him in a top five at the safety spot. I think I would. But I don't know. There's a case to be made for other guys. I know Baltimore's got a good safety, the Notre Dame kid. Xavier McKinney last year was one of the best in the business. And then I don't know from a running back standpoint, Josh Jacobs, and when we were talking yesterday about this, Saquon Barkley had almost the same amount of yards pre-contact that Josh Jacobs did. That's an O-line thing.
That's why they've retooled the O-line.
I think there is a piece to that why, and Jason brought up an interesting question of, was this more to protect Jordan Love or to get the running game going? And obviously the answer is yes and yes, but I do think this was made to be more effective running the football. That's why you brought Banks in. That's why you moved Elgton Jenkins. And that is, I think, a key part of what Green Bay is trying to get done this offseason. But to answer my own question on Twitter, Josh Jacobs is the answer to me.
You think Josh Jacobs is the best running back in the
National Football League? I think you can make a really good case. So Saquon's one. Who's two?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Tausch. We will table the conversation about the top 20 most important Packers where Jason hedged in his article today. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit.
He needs to rephrase that to top 33 or more.
Yeah, the top however many he feels, depending on how he can write about the most amount of important players. But in the meantime, it is time for Power Rankings Tuesday, where over at ESPN.com, the annual anonymous survey from Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL writer, surveying players, executives, and coaches,
So there's a lot of stuff that ESPN does that I think is kind of clickbaity and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
Oh, like every other sports thing.
These are fun. Yeah,
this is because you are... Everything is subjective, right? I think this is interesting in the fact that, you know, he's getting anonymous sourcing and he's ranking players, he's ranking things, and then it gives you jumping off points to agree or disagree.
So this did debut yesterday. I've heard many of our ESPN Wisconsin shows have talked about this. We might be last to the party on it, but that's okay. You don't know it yet, which is good. You don't know what the top 10 running backs in the National Football League are ranked according to players, executives, and coaches surveyed by Jeremy Fowler.
I do not.
So, do you want me to start 10 to 1, or do you want to go 1 to 10?
You pick what you want.
We will start at the top, because it is no surprise. Saquon Barkley is number 1. After the year he had last year, helping propel the Philadelphia Eagles to a Super Bowl title, how good he was when healthy with the New York Giants, and what that franchise has looked like since he left, versus what the Eagles have looked like since he arrived, I think everybody's on board with Saquon Barkley,
number one on this list. He has earned the right to be number one, and it's pretty much unanimous, yes.
So you would have Josh Jacobs number two.
No, I didn't say that. I need to, again, think through who else is in that conversation.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you. Derrick Henry of the Baltimore Ravens.
Derrick Henry's great. Derrick Henry is now with Baltimore and with Lamar Jackson. That makes everything easier. I got Jacobs ahead of Derrick Henry.
And this is a new perk for this list from Jeremy Fowler. He lists where the player's highest ranking has been in all time in his series, which he's done this several years now.
He's definitely been one for a while.
And Derrick Henry has been one. Last year, he was ranked number 9.
Yeah, he had a good year at Baltimore. I think his time with Tennessee, the fact that everybody could load boxes and really focus on stopping him, can't do that in Baltimore. That's why that was such a good fit and why he resurged back into where I would think is a top 5 guy.
So this is where it's going to get interesting. Number 3 is not Josh Jacobs, but it is an NFC North running back.
Okay.
Jahmyr Gibbs of the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. He's a share a back, though.
Multifaceted, can catch well out of the backfield.
Explosive. I think his explosivity is better than Josh Jacobs, but if it's on a down-to-down basis and you're asking to be a bell cow, Josh Jacobs. I can get around on that. I'm not going to go there. I don't think Jahmyr Gibbs has proven enough to overtake Josh Jacobs, especially when you ask, what are you asking of this player?
So I think we're going to start to see an interesting dichotomy here in this list. We'll talk about that in a minute. Number 4 is not Josh Jacobs.
Okay.
Bijan Robinson of the Atlanta Falcons.
Special talent. I don't know exactly what his numbers were last year. He is a bell cow. He did. He tried to do everything. I can understand. If I'm doing Atlanta sports talk, I can understand that. I can understand it. I still don't think it's not unanimous enough for me with the track record of Josh Jacobs and how great he was last season for this team. I can't put Bijan ahead of him.
So, again, we had...
He's still at 2 for me. Nobody has passed him.
Saquon Barkley, multifaceted. Jahmyr Gibbs, multifaceted. Bijan Robinson, multifaceted. And when I say that, I mean pass-catching ability.
Didn't
out of the
Josh Jacobs
backfield.
Have some catches last year?
He had some, but not as many as these other guys.
Okay.
I can check the official stats and compare, but I don't think nearly as many. Same thing here at number 5, Christian McCaffrey.
No. Hurt all year, was ineffective. Now,
so, and that's the interesting thing, how durability
history,
is factored in
the
here.
History is great. He would have been 1 last year. He would have been ahead of Saquon.
He was number 1 last year in the rankings.
Bottom line is, and this is the cruel, hard, cold NFL. What have you done for me lately? And Christian McCaffrey is going to have to prove he's back healthy. He was not healthy last year. He was ineffective, and that's a big reason why the 49ers missed the playoffs.
Number 6 is Josh Jacobs.
And I understand where the Jeremy Fowler stuff. I can make a really good argument he's 2nd. And I don't know if they're going to be able to, if we're going to find a Green Bay Packer ranked higher, even 6 might be the best rank that we've seen. I don't know where they'll have Xavier McKinney or if he's broke down safeties. Josh Jacobs, I think, is definitely a top 5 back in this league. And I have him probably at the 2 or 3 slot. You could kind of pick your poison. Jahmyr Gibbs, really good player. I understand why you could. McCaffrey, no chance. Derrick Henry, his history is great, and he had a really good season last year, so I can't fight you that hard on it. I think the lowest you could put Josh Jacobs would be 4.
So just real quickly, rounding out the top 10, number 7 is Jonathan Taylor, who you think belongs on the Wisconsin Badgers,
Mount
Rushmore.
He definitely deserves it.
Number 8, James Cook of the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
Number 9, Joe Mixon of the Texans. And number 10, Alvin Kamara of the New Orleans Saints. That's
your top 10.
I
don't have a problem
10.
With any of that. I think the Josh Jacobs part of this, he's definitely not 1. I could make an argument he's 2, but I think you could settle with him at 3, 4, and I think everybody would say, yep, that makes sense.
So here's my takeaway from these rankings from Jeremy Fowler over at ESPN.com. I think there's 2 types of running backs now that we can look at in the National Football League, and it's not necessarily fair to put that blanket statement on them. But you have the running backs who are both utilized regularly as traditional running backs, but also pass-catching options out of the backfield and present a new dynamic for your offense, the Christian McCaffreys, the Saquon Barkleys, the Alvin Kamaras. And then there's the more traditional bulldozing running backs, Derrick Henry, and to me, Josh Jacobs fits that mold. What this survey tells me from Jeremy Fowler's rankings at ESPN.com is that players, coaches, and executives value the pass-catching running back a lot more now at that position, and it's created a more important role for that position that we didn't see for a number of years.
I agree somewhat, but Derrick Henry's not a great pass catcher out of the backfield.
No, he's not great, but he's so good at what he does, just blowing people over, that like that's how he's made his name. Josh Jacobs is kind of the same thing.
What my point is to you is you're trying to spin a narrative that you want to have versatility. Well, no blank.
I think the National Football League is spinning that narrative.
That list is not as versatile as you think. Yeah, Gibbs is versatile. McCaffrey's versatile.
Bijan?
Somewhat, yes.
Last year, I looked up the receiving targets. I couldn't find total receptions on this site, but Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, and then there was one other one on here, all had about 20 more targets than Josh Jacobs did on the entire season.
And that's one a game.
That's okay. One stat, but targets is also like it could just be a broken play. The pocket's collapsing, you just throw it near him, so you
My
never
know. My
point
on this and where you could, if you're going to fight me on the Josh Jacobs component to this, it's big plays. I would argue executives, players, coaches are all looking for big play guys, explosivity, and Saquon gives you that. Gibbs gives you that. McCaffrey, when healthy, gives you that. Josh Jacobs, you could make an argument, does not. And whether or not that's fair or not, that to me is more than catching a couple swing passes or screens. Now, those things are important, and you do see Gibbs, and when McCaffrey's healthy, they utilize those matchups, and if you have middle linebackers that can't cover, they will find you. I don't know if that is ever going to be Josh Jacobs' thing, and if that is going to be the delineation point of why he's not one of those top guys, he's still a top guy because of how effective he is running the football.
I think he definitely carries the weight of being one of the recognized great running backs in the NFL. I mean, he's still number 6 on the list. That's still top 25%.
And I don't know if there's really another Packer that will be higher. I don't know that. I don't know if Fowler went into safeties.
We haven't done all the positions yet, but they're coming out every day or two here. So we'll keep an eye out for the other lists.
Is there, in your guys' opinion, anyone going to be ranked higher than 6th on Fowler's list than for the Green Bay Packers? I think the only other guy in the equation is Xavier McKinney.
And I think McKinney, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head of some other safeties around the league. I think he could be recognized.
Detroit's got a guy.
Top 5.
There's some good safeties in this.
Because, I mean, he was recognized very highly when he left the Giants and came to Green Bay last year, and he didn't do anything last year.
Not enough for the Giants to pay him, which is still...
But he didn't do anything last year to compromise how he was viewed when he left New York.
He had a bigger boy season than any he had in New York. I would think Xavier McKinney would be higher than 6th.
Is there a chance, because thinking about the quarterbacks in the league, you go through, obviously, Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow, Josh Allen, and then maybe that 5 to 6, do people around the league?
No.
No, he's not there yet.
I know. I'm just there's maybe a chance that enough of them say it that he sneaks in there.
No. I think he'll be a top 10 guy. I think he'll be 8 or 9. And that'll be at the highest I think he could be.
Yeah,
he had too many mistakes last year, and he wasn't as consistent as he needed to be to kind of validate that what we saw. Now, I think last year at this time, he maybe would have been higher. But because of his turnovers and I think just the overall narrative of his injury last year, I need to see more narrative about Jordan Love than maybe there was even last year, which sounds insane, but I think that's the narrative that's out there.
Yeah, you and Jason have talked plenty on this show about, I think Jordan Love right now is looking at 9th or 10th on an NFL list of where he ranks among quarterbacks, and if he can limit the interceptions and if he can, whatever your definition of take the next step is in leading the Green Bay Packers this year statistically or wins-wise into the postseason, I think he has a chance to move up that list, no doubt. But right now, he's near the bottom of the top 10 when we look at NFL quarterback, which is not a bad place to be, but compared to his predecessors and where we want the Packers to be competing for championships, he needs to be higher on that list.
Yep, I'd agree.
So Xavier McKinney, I think, probably has the best chance.
Xavier's going to win this.
We'll keep an eye out for what that list looks like from Jeremy Fowler as they publish at ESPN.com over the coming days, probably week or two, as we lead down the countdown to the start of training camp for the Packers on July 23rd. We will be there up in Green Bay on Wednesday, July 23rd. Okay, so that was the discussion of the running backs and the power rankings there. We will switch gears and get to Jason's top 20-ish countdown coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It is Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Countdown of the top 20 or 27 or 38 most important Packers of 2025 continues at channel3000.com. Yeah, he's actually just got every guy on the roster. And then a couple of the guys that we know aren't going to make it are still on the
list.
Maybe
a guy they might pick up.
And then a future prospect for next year.
A Zach Bond type guy.
I heard that's the key to winning.
Before we get to the wide receivers, which will be the main discussion of probably the remainder of our show, to be honest, because there's a lot of good stuff to dissect from what Jason wrote about today at channel3000.com. Let's just do a quick recap here from Jason's list of the top 20 Packers of 2025, because there were a couple, and I know you guys didn't get to all of these yesterday. There were a few that published over the weekend while we were gone for the 4th of July. So we talked last week, number 20, Luke Musgrave, number 19, Matthew Golden. Number 18, Evan Williams. Those are the three we've talked about on the shows. If you missed any of them, check it out on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Number 17 is Brandon McManus, the kicker. Number 16, Nate Hobbs, the newcomer at corner from the Las Vegas Raiders.
So is it most important Packers? McManus, I can't argue that he's important, and obviously what he did solidifying things, and you know, I know he missed the kick in the Philly game, but I don't have a problem with him being 17. He's an important piece to what they're doing, and I think the special teams solidified themselves when he was signed.
I think that's, and I heard Gabe Neitzel say this on the State of the Packers show, I think it's a vastly underrated, you've said this before too, actually, come to think of it, it's a vastly underrated thing that Brian Gutekunst did last year, going and getting Brandon McManus and stabilizing kicker, because that was, I don't even know if arguably, the biggest question mark.
No, it was.
Going into last training camp.
We spent a lot of time discussing the fact that he's just hoping. And I thought this is one of the cases where, you know, Goody maybe got caught with his pants down a little bit. I think they thought, going to be a little time, we have room for growth. You know, he kept saying, let's let these guys grow together. And the problem is, you can grow as a wider. You can have some drops. Kicking is not afford that luxury.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just let a kid kick through things when you're young and you're trying to win games. The expedited success of that first year as Jordan Love as the starting quarterback, the only real casualty in that growth was Anders Carlson.
Yep.
And whether or not he can kick in this league or not, I would bet that he's going to end up being a pretty good kicker in the league. He was not afforded that luxury because you can't give games away, and that is such a zero-sum make-miss deal that if you're missing too many like he did and wasn't consistent enough, that cost him. And this, again, is why I give Brian Gutekunst a lot of credit and why some people, Ned and some of the other folks, give me a lot of grief, is Goody is not afraid to make the big boy decision. When it's called upon, he has been very cutthroat. He did it at the backup quarterback position, and it won them three games last year by being cutthroat and not being, I want to see this kid grow, I want to see this. Quarterback's another position where it's fine if you can be a backup and do it, but when something happens, you better be prepared. And for Goody to make that tough decision at kicking and then also at backup quarterbacking, I think are two of the most underrated pieces to last year's team. But because the team ended up being kind of blah, nobody really looks back at those decisions and the fact this team maybe doesn't make the playoffs if they don't do that.
And the fact that McManus came in and instantly won the game against the Texans in October at the buzzer. Like he first game, last second field goal, goes straight through and wins it. It added this calmness every time the kicker came out that we didn't feel for 2 years.
Trust.
It was crazy.
And stability in the special teams game is everything. He provided that.
Yep. Underrated. Brandon McManus at 17. Nate Hobbs at 16. We don't know exactly what his role will look like about this year.
We don't know anything. I know Jason watched film and said that he's physical. We shall see. But the bottom line is they knew Jaire Alexander wasn't coming back. There was this hope that, well, maybe he will. And it would have been great, I think, had they figured something out. And in the grand scheme of things, with what they ended up with what who ended up Baltimore signed him for, it's going to be one of those, they made a good decision, or what the blank were we doing not giving him $4 million guaranteed to come back. That is going to be a storyline as this season goes, and I'm sure it will culminate in December when the Green Bay Packers play Baltimore. But Nate Hobbs needs to be a really good, steady player. I don't need him to be DB1. But he needs to be on the field, and he needs to have a significant role in that secondary in order for this signing to make any sense.
I think Nate Hobbs is properly ranked at number 16, but there's a chance he could slide up in his significance for the success of the Packers season throughout the course of the year.
I actually think with the storylines of this NFL season, I think 16 is too low. If he's sitting here at 16 or not in the top 20 of the most important Packers, I think we made a miss, and I think the secondary position was bungled. Nate Hobbs needs to be a contributor in a big way.
So that was 17 and 16. Number 15 was the first time we saw a tandem duo.
That's not true.
From
I think
Jason.
18 he tandemed up to.
No, 18 was Evan Williams. He was good with Evan
there was
Williams
another then. Tandem in there because I remember giving him grief. But
Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt splitting the number 15 spot.
Both of these guys need to be top 10 players for this defense to be the next step elevated into being consistent enough to say that's the strength of the football team. End of the season last year, defense was the strength of the football team. That's why they drafted and why they put the resources into the offense the way they did, because they knew, they saw that this defense is coming. And I'm guessing Edgerrin Cooper is going to be a very, very high selection in this. Both of these guys are first-round picks, but one got the fifth-year option, one didn't. There's talk of Quay Walker maybe getting an extension before the season. I think that'd be great. Quay Walker is a really good football player when he's healthy, and I think he was coming on. For this defense to be the turnover machine and what they're looking for from Jeff Hafley, both of these guys need to be, and just went through the rankings, they need to elevate their stature on a whole league-wide scale from what they are. Devontae Wyatt has flashed. Quay Walker's been more consistent. This defense is built for Devontae Wyatt. It's built for a defensive tackle to get up the field and cause chaos. I didn't see enough of that last year from him. I saw flashes, and part of it is injury. He needs to have a big boy contract year and put a lot of pressure on Green Bay to pay him bonko dollars. If that is the case, there's going to be a lot of positivity about this football team.
Do you believe Devontae Wyatt will make that jump this year?
I would at this point say no, because I haven't seen the consistency to do it. And this isn't some first year going into second year. And he's going into his fourth year, if my math is correct. I haven't seen enough of it yet. I've seen enough flashes to know that he can do it. Am I going to see 16 or 17 weeks of somebody that opposing offensive lines are like, oh boy, we need to really take a look? And then all of a sudden that edge rush that gets so much grief going to be a lot better if we have somebody. I'd like to see Devontae Wyatt elevate himself into being what Cullen Jenkins was for our Super Bowl team. Cullen Jenkins may be one of the most underrated Green Bay Packers we've ever seen. The impact that he made on the teams he was a part of, and it was interior pass rush that helped Clay make plays. You don't realize you can handle edge guys with chipping and other things. If you have somebody in the middle of a defense that is really hard to block one-on-one, it changes the whole dynamic of how you call defense and how you rush the passer. Last year, I think one of the biggest misnomers, we all got after edge. Edge wasn't good. Oh, Rashawn wasn't good enough. Preston Smith, we got to get him out of there. What Lucas Van Ness? I think Lucas Van Ness is going to get some cracks at being Cullen Jenkins. I think Devontae Wyatt is. That is the position that needs to upgrade just as much. I think we've all looked at the edge. Oh, we got to have, we need Hendrickson. We need all these guys. And that's all great. But if this pass rush is going to get a lot better, it's going to come from the Wyatts, LVNs. That's where Carl Brooks, those guys, need to elevate. And I think a big reason why we saw a little shakeup in that defensive line is because these guys haven't taken that jump.
So good segue then into, you talked yesterday about Kenny Clark checking in at number 14 on the list. And so Kenny Clark is another guy up front. And Hunter actually has an update for us because Jeremy Fowler's latest list is out. Defensive tackles is who he surveyed, players, coaches, and executives.
I don't think we got one in the top 20, do we?
Top 20, you don't think? Hunter?
Well, good news is there is one in the top 20. Somebody did receive votes.
Kenny?
Yes. Kenny was the first one listed for receiving votes. So, last year he was number 9.
So that would make it like 11.
Oh, so it's just top 10.
Well, there's honorable mention. So he went top 10, and then you have, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 honorable mentions, and then Kenny is listed, so 16.
Yeah, 16. Yeah.
So he's top 20.
Yeah.
So he's middle of, in theory, middle of the road in the NFL. If there's 32 teams,
and
he's number 16.
I think it's also important, as this was something that was talked about earlier in the offseason, that guy from Dallas, Osa Odighizuwa, as a possibility of coming in. He was the last one on the received votes, so he'd be, like, it looks like, just about number 21.
So with Kenny, there's question marks, right? He's getting older, and I don't even know if he's 30 yet. He might be right on that cusp, but he has played a lot of football and a lot of snaps, and he was beat up last year. Got foot injuries or whatever happened to him, toe, in the game in Brazil. And I give him a ton of credit for gutting it out. This is the point in your career where you start getting the questions from the front office and from everybody that judges players, how much you got left in the tank? And I think it's a fair question. I think Kenny Clark he is a Packer Hall of Famer. He has had a great career here. He has done, I think, for being a first round pick, a young guy that just kind of grew into his spot, he has been great for this team for a long time. He wasn't last year. He just wasn't. And there's always, a bunch of factors that can go into that. I think Kenny Clark feels like he has a lot to prove this season, because he got his extension, but I would bet that if things don't go in an upward trajectory from where he was last year, this could be his last season in Green Bay.
So that brings us up to number 13 for today. We'll tell you which two wide receivers share the number 13 ranking in Jason's top 20 countdown of the most important Packers of 2025, and we will do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse and Tausch on Wilde and Tausch. No Jason Wilde today. He's back on Thursday, but the countdown continues.
I'm starting to think that the clock management is not Jason's fault.
You don't say.
Because we're only 2 segments in this 10 o'clock
hour,
right?
We are, yes.
And it's almost 11 o'clock.
That is correct, yes. And no Bulaga today.
There's
either.
No Bulaga, no to Evan. Blame, no Cohen, no Jason.
Who are the other common denominators this could possibly
and
be?
And I'm not even going to blame Hunter.
Yeah, he's not here every day.
You think it's me?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe I'm the problem.
Yes,
that
I do.
Sounds like Morgan Wallen.
So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to unveil to you right now who checks in at number 13 on Jason's list of the most important Packers of 2025, and then we will further discuss coming up on the other side of the break. Checking in at number 13, there are 2 names on the line from Jason Wilde. Hedging at 13A and 13B, it's a pair of Packers wide receivers. At number 13 in the top 20 countdown to the most important Packers of 2025, Jaden Reed and Dontayvion Wicks. Jaden Reed and Tay Wicks checking in at number 13.
Yeah, and I know, Hunter, yesterday we discussed the State of the Packers show that Jason and Strophy and Gabe did down at Summerfest. The Gabe Neitzel commentary on Jaden Reed, which we're going to get to, I think, because I did ask you for audio and you are the king of getting audio. I don't realize, or maybe I was mistaken, that the Packers have not targeted or maybe emphasized Jaden Reed as much as we all thought. Because to me, I've looked at this for the last couple of years and just assumed Jaden Reed is going to be one of the guys. There is going to be a kind of a running, you know how they the English folks chase that wheel of cheese that rolls down a hill?
Sure.
Yeah.
There's most people fall, break their leg, and they don't get there. Getting the cheese, I thought of any of all the wideouts lined up on that hill, and that wheel of brie is rolling down the hill, I thought Jaden Reed be the one for sure that's going to get the cheese. And then I didn't know what else because there's so much uncertainty. To me, Jaden Reed was the safest pick that was going to get that cheese. And the more I'm looking at it, maybe that was mistaken. And I know we'll delve more into it. Mm-hmm. But as far as who's going to need, yeah, they're both very important. How you could get both of them, I don't know how Jason, and I have not read it, so I don't know how you could frame that. Is Matthew Golden going to be higher on this list? I would venture to say yes, he will be. And is that fair? No. That's the reality being a first pick in the first round at wide receiver in 23 years. There's going to be some expectations.
Golden was number 19, I believe.
On he Jason's already was
list.
On the list.
On Jason's list, yeah. He was number 19.
Okay, I think if you're going to put these guys at 13, maybe Jason is looking at it trying to shield young Matthew Golden.
He might be.
I think Matthew Golden needs to be a bigger part of the offense than 19. And I don't think right away is he going to elevate himself past, but he certainly will have to be better than one of these two. One of these two elevates themselves. Matthew Golden is not going to be sitting on the bench come Thanksgiving. He is going to be playing if he's healthy. Then it just comes back to who's going to join him. Early in the season, I think it's going to be more focused and maybe play-driven and let him get his feet kind of on the ground and figure out what he's good at. But you don't draft a kid 24th, 23rd,
24th, yeah,
whatever it was overall, in a position group that is going to start, it's going to have to start weeding itself out. You don't do that if you don't have a big role planned for him. And unless he is not up to the task, which by all accounts, listening and watching, he's going to be good. He's fast. He's got everything you're looking for in a wideout. He is going to need to be above one of these two guys as far as the pecking order goes in the wide receiver room.
We're going to talk plenty more about how Jaden Reed and Tay Wicks could impact Matthew Golden or vice versa. We're going to hear commentary from Gabe Neitzel, Jason Wilde from the State of the Packers show. All of that is still coming up after Tausch tells us about Kohler Services.
Yeah, and we have an offer from Kohler Services for a beautiful shower or bath remodel. Family-owned business for 150 years. Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life, and this month only, $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel. No interest financing for 12 months. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote. Fast professional installation. Oh, that is always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com. And Monday, old T's going to get back to work. Hard hat, mall. I don't know what exactly I'm going to be doing, but the winner of the ugly shower contest, and it was an ugly shower.
It was an ugly shower.
I get to go beat it down.
Yeah.
And then the Kohler service, that fast professional installation we're talking about, they're going to be ready to roll once we get that ripped up. And I cannot wait. I think that we're going to be doing that on Monday. Maybe going to be providing a little behind the scenes commercial break stuff for the Wilde and Tausch stream if we could figure out how to do that, which I've got my fingers crossed.
I think we're pretty confident we'll be able to get that done. Are you going to be only on the demolishing crew, or are you going to be
I'm not installing.
Yeah. I would trust you to demolish house. I'm not letting you install it.
Here,
anything.
Go take that tub down, but stay away from
just
putting
the
new
record,
one up.
Just so you guys know, I used to do concrete. Mm-hmm. I have been in the construction
world. You're a handy
world.
Guy. Yeah.
I am not a handy guy. Not at all.
Oh. But not plumbing, electrical.
No. And by the way, it's illegal.
Yes.
To do that.
Also, okay, I just real quick, I'm sorry. But, like, the guys that just do that and, like, aren't trained at all to do it are insane human beings, because that's incredibly dangerous.
Very handy. Yeah, but if you're doing that, that means you trust that, because you kill
or
yourself.
Or you're a lunatic.
Mm. It could be both. I think a lot of those folks, it's, yeah, if you're doing, again, we're not recommending and or advocating just to make sure we cover all of our bases.
That's good. We like that.
I don't want to. Don't do it. Hire a certified, you know,
Kohler Services.
Kohler Services, you know, has got the certified installer.
Fast, professional, easy installation.
Absolutely. But yeah, if you're sitting there threading out like plumbing and doing it, you're buyer beware. Bring your own bewaredness.
I worked at a hardware store. The number of guys I would see multiple times on a Saturday trying to do plumbing stuff and buying a lot of pipe then. Like, dude, just get a plumber.
You know what? I will say one of the most underrated and I think fun things is you get that glue in the bottle. You got to shake it up and it's got like the round knob and you do the glue to put plastic, the
PVC glue.
Yeah.
That is as fun of a glue as you're going to get. Like, yeah, everybody's got the wood glue and it's the old pasty white glue. That old glue that you rattle that little deal around and you shake it up and you got the little round ball at the end of it that you put on the plumbing.
Yep.
That's a fun hobby.
It is, unless you have to clean it up.
And it smells too, but it's kind of that fun smell, if you know what I mean.
The good smell.
I'm going Elmer's glue stick is my number one in my glue
Hunter,
power rankings.
Quick question. If you're, when you're at the theater with your mother-in-law.
Gee, I wonder why we're off the clock.
If somebody was if somebody was smoking some you know what behind you,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Oh,
why don't you take a beat? Because I know we got to stay on the clock. Take a beat. I'm curious to see what you and your mother-in-law.
Talk about Jaden Reed and Tay Wicks.
No, we will.
A good conversation we've got. Now when you're talking about,
we can start
the
11 o'clock hour with Gabe's comments and everything else. We have to get back on the clock. But I'm interested what Hunter would do with
his
mother-in-law.
Where did this question even come from?
Because I had been to the theater in a while, and there were some ganji-smoking fools behind us with my kids, and I was wondering, what's the right play here? And I'll be curious what Hunter has to say, and we'll do that next. It's Wildy and Tosh.
This is our crew.
A drive! Left center! Deep! See you later!
You're listening to Madison's new home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball, 100.5 ESPN.
You get a newfound appreciation for Jason in this seat when you get to do it a few days in a row or over a few weeks.
What exactly does that mean?
I think you know. You're one of one, and that's awesome. And it's just hard to feel like we're really trying to dive into, like, you know, the hardcore football fans want to hear what we have to say about what you want to say.
Did we not just do a full hour on breaking down different Packer players, their importance to the team?
They did, but there's these awesome numbers that you've been teasing that Gabe Neitzel brought up on the State of the Packers show about Jaden Reed and his role in the Packers offense.
I would argue the last hour could not have been more in-depth Packers stuff than if you tried to.
And somehow you teased us out saying you want to talk about the ganji-smoking fools in the movie theater.
Yeah.
That's relatable, though. Everyone has had some moment in a movie theater or at a game where somebody is being a fool around you, and how do you handle that?
Yeah, that's life.
So is this a situation you've been in?
Yes. Or,
okay, recently?
Yeah, I haven't been to a movie in forever. I think the back end of the fourth, I think it must have been Sunday. We had baseball. Sunday night. Eleanor is all in on the Mission Impossible series. She loves it.
Oh.
Sarah loves it. I didn't need to go. I like saving those things for airplane rides. So I actually pretty much steer clear of movie theaters because I want to save some of these movies, especially newer ones, for when we're heading to Oregon for the football game.
Yeah, or,
you know, with when we got our trip covered up. There are things that I'd rather just let's hold off on it. This wasn't one. This was good to go. Tom Cruise is the last great movie star. I don't know of anybody that puts more of their heart and soul into it. It's a really good movie. Loved the movie. That was great. I'm glad we went. But there was some ganj smoking fools.
Like, were they lighting up in the theater?
I don't
or
know.
Had they?
Okay. It was,
you
because
just
this movie's been
it.
Out for a while. It was a smaller theater.
Sure.
So it was just more intimate.
So my first question, could you have moved? If you knew the people were sitting there,
it was very limited seat because it's a small theater.
Okay.
So if the place was probably almost completely full.
So that my first move, if it was me, like tonight, if I do
and
go
but
to,
just by the way, I don't care. Like I've been around enough. I've seen that.
Yeah.
But when my kids are like, "What is that? Oh, yeah. That's that."
It's a tough spot.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, "All right, well, what are you gonna do about it?"
My first move, if I was by myself, like if I go to this movie tonight by myself at 9 o'clock at night or whatever after the
You'd
Brewers
say,
game
give me
is
a little
done,
something.
I would not. My first move would be to move away and go find a different seat
right,
if the theater.
There's no seats available.
But no seat available.
You're going to go up to the manager and say, hey, mister.
No, I'm not going to go to the manager.
This young man back there smoking some of that grass.
I think if they're – so, like, I think my move is act like – like, go to, like, throw something away or, like, go to the bathroom. So then as you're coming back in, if they're behind you, you can see are they, like, lighting up in the theater.
What if it's, like, a vape pen?
Yeah. Then I'm gonna go say something to like somebody working there.
You're not gonna say something
if it's
to
a,
them.
If it's a group of people, yeah, I'm not gonna say something to them.
What if
I will tell people
punk,
to shut up though
olds.
If they're talking.
Is the movie already started?
Yes.
Okay. So I think you can't do the interaction once the movie has already started. And this could for me, this could be any. This could be this. This could be smacking a gum.
You're going to turn around and tell somebody to stop smacking their
when
gum?
We're at the,
I'll come smack your gums.
When we're at the Overture Center, you should see you, some of the looks I give people. If they're popping gum behind me while there's a
your
quiet
Your looks
scene.
Ain't doing anything. You're going to say
no,
something.
No, the looks get it done sometimes. The look,
isn't it dark?
The hall monitor nickname just fits so
no,
well.
No, he's not
for
a hall because he's not. Hall monitors go up and say, "Get your butt back to class." They don't give you a side eye. It's like, "Oh, you got to be vocal."
But policing people chewing gum, like I think it's weird
why?
To chew
no,
gum
I don't care
at the like, overture.
You do that to me, I'm going to blow a big bubble in your hair.
You can chew gum. Why are you popping the gum, making
because
a bunch of noise?
I agree, it's annoying.
That's stupid. It's so
you,
irritating.
Hey Jesse, how about you lock into the musical you're seeing more?
I'd like to, and, but when you're out to dinner, do people just smack the chips if they're eating them as loud as possible?
I mean,
no,
I've
they don't. You eat them quietly.
Do
why is gum the exception
what
to that?
If somebody's
I don't want to hear
tobacco.
What you're doing.
Does that bother you?
Yes.
That bothers you.
When's the last time you've been somewhere in public where someone's spitting tobacco?
They got a splatoon.
It happens. So
does
you,
it?
There's people chew tobacco. Yes.
Well, yes. Understood. I think if it's during
so
the movie.
You're going to side-eye this person
I'm
and hope
side-eye,
that that
yeah.
makes
side-eye is the first move. Try to get it done that way. If that doesn't get it done, you can't interact with the person speaking during the movie. You have to get up and go talk to somebody.
My
if
wife and I had this conversation point. Because this was back in the fall. We went to see Wicked, and there was an older gentleman that was like talking to his wife during the movie. And I like leaned over. I'm like, "Hey, can you stop talking like during the movie? I can't stand it when people talk during movies." And her,
don't sit next to us then, because I love talking.
So different
movies.
Than smacking your gum during a movie. Yeah,
I love getting
very
caught
different.
Up. Like, hey, what happened there? Like
noise
that,
is
I
noise.
Love doing that.
Oh no,
I like getting caught up.
Nope, hate that. But my wife reminded me that people are, like I said, with the doing their own plumbing or electrical when they aren't certified. People are lunatics. So she has definitely started to train me into don't say anything to people because you don't know if they're a crazy person or not.
Especially I used to make it known on the highway, like, "Hey, what the blank are you doing?" And I've reined that. I still probably am more so than I should, but I've reined that in a little bit.
I had a random lady yesterday while I'm just driving, like literally was in my lane, have no idea what was going on. She just all of a sudden starts laying on the horn, gives me the single finger.
I love when people do that to
and
me.
I'm just like, I literally have no idea what I was doing. I was speeding, so it's like it's not like she like got behind me or anything. I didn't move lanes.
Were you
it
in
was
the left
weirdest
lane?
Thing. No, I was in the right lane.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. Like
it was
I actually
so weird.
I thrive on that when people get irritated with me about that. Because normally I'm very attentive. No, I enjoy that part of it. Marcus on Twitter just tweeted, "Tausch, you should have taken a page out of Costanza's playbook where you turn around and you get in the guy's face." It just didn't bother me as much. Because that stench is in the Madison area. It's around.
Yeah,
pretty,
it's everywhere
pretty
now.
Pretty common.
If I'm by myself, it's not that, like, I'm just going to power through it, and I might not be happy about it, but I'll power through it.
But nobody, not gum chewing, though.
But no, gum chewing, absolutely not. Way more annoying. if I'm with kids, I'm not in that situation. I don't know how I would handle that. I shouldn't be advising you on how to parent anything.
Yeah, I wasn't asking you to.
I think you if you are concerned about it, you would go talk to somebody if the movie has started. And I think Hunter makes a good point.
All right.
If you are injured in an accident, Jason always recommends this advice you should listen to. Call Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 30 years and a proud partner of Wilde and Tausch. We thank David Gruber and his team. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Driving down to Milwaukee, going to the Brewers game last night, even in American Family Field around the stadium. You can see all the signage for Gruber Law Offices. Big Brewers fan, you know that. Big Wisconsin sports fan, David Gruber and Gruber Law Offices, proud partner of Wilde and Tausch, serving Wisconsin for over 30 years. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Back to wide receiver talk, I think, in 2 minutes as we start the 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.